Hello and welcome to Ilani Talks, a podcast focused on redefining self-care and love for your mental health. I'm your host, Ilani Salcedo. Throughout the podcast episodes, I share my own experiences while others feature some truly wonderful guests. Today's episode, guest Laura Lorta joins me. We dive into the love behind being a copywriter, self-care as a Latina with roots from the Dominican Republic, the influence of lifestyle changes, and how she juggles the different roles she plays in life with a foundation of support. Hi, Laura. Thank you for coming on Ilani Talks today.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course. One of the main things I love doing as a host is starting our conversation with two questions that I believe gets to the heart of a person. They are, what do you do and what do you want to be known for?
Well, that's a three-part answer for me. What I do, I'm a teacher. That's what I call my jobby job. I've been teaching for 7 years, and I teach bilingual students at the elementary level. So that's what I do right now, but I'm also a part-time content writer and copywriter, and I'm working on making that a full-time thing, hopefully by the end of this school year. And then what do I want to be known for is helping people be their best selves. I think that that comes down to my love of teaching is just, I love inspiring others and helping them see things in themselves that they don't see.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if that's why, in a way, you're also a teacher, or what called you to also be a teacher to have that impact on others.
Yeah, I always was interested in teaching. I actually wanted to be a music teacher. Back when I thought that I could sing, I was going to be famous. So I really wanted to be a teacher because I wanted to work with kids, and also because school wasn't all that fun for me. So I wanted to make it fun for kids. And then throughout my career, I've realized that what I'm called to do is just inspire others. And you can do that in so many different ways, even through writing. Writing is a really powerful way to inspire and motivate others.
Right. And that's where I kind of want to start our conversation. With your passion for writing, what do you love most about it?
I think that words are just so powerful. And you have to be very careful how you use them. But when used correctly, they can really inspire and motivate others. I mean, that's just look at Instagram. How many inspirational quotes do you see on there? You know, someone wrote all of those things. And I think that that's so beautiful. And I really want to help others to be able to express themselves through writing, which is not something that a lot of people are good at doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so true. As a writer myself, I completely get that. Words are so powerful. And like you say, all the quotes that you see, like on Instagram and on social media and just all over, people write that. Like, there's a human who did that. It just didn't appear.
And that human is made money off of that. Who knows how much money? Because, you know, right. It's not like writers are making the millions or anything.
Right. No, exactly. And today, as a writer, you find yourselves offering services for entrepreneurs and small businesses. When did this become a career choice?
I actually stumbled on it. I started writing for a website called Verblio, and they're content marketers. And you go on there and they have job assignments, and you pick one and you write whatever the assignment is, but it's very competitive. So there's a lot of writing that doesn't end up actually getting purchased. What I started doing was finding my own clients through Instagram, funnily enough. And charging my own fees. And it just kind of developed into something that I was doing very frequently. And then people were asking me for a website. They were asking me for a portfolio. And I was like, yeah, I have that. It's under construction. So I put my website together in about a week so that I could have something, you know, for people to actually look at and direct them to. And now I just realized how much of a market there is for this, how much people really need help with delivering their message through words. So that's my goal for this year, is to make it a full-time thing.
Awesome. And, you know, me and you could really, I think, sit for a while speaking about writing and the passion we both have with it. But like you say, there's so many people who might not be able to write. And I think when I started in my career, it was amazing how so many people don't have this skill. And I'm like, right, this is unique to me. Not everyone, or like words don't come as easily for people. Right. So it's definitely a unique and a very needed thing for businesses, for, you know, just anyone really.
And especially people who have small businesses and entrepreneurs, because what I also noticed is that the copywriting world is an expensive world. I mean, there are people out here really charging $300-$400 an hour to write words for other people. So one of my goals is also to make it a more affordable thing for people who just have a smaller business, like photographers, or if you own a small coffee shop. You know, I want those people to still be able to get professional copywriting and not have to, you know, pay an arm and a leg.
Right. And that's such a beautiful offering and energy that you put into the work. And that's right. A lot of people do charge a lot, and that sometimes stops businesses from searching that opportunity that they could have for their business to have great copy and really bring in the clients or their customers that they really need.
Right.
And has offering services to others changed your feelings about writing at all?
Can I say it's made me love it more?
Cause that's, yeah, it's okay. That's an answer.
That's how I feel, because I mean, the response that I've gotten from my clients, you know, people saying, oh my gosh, you wrote exactly what I was feeling. It's like, I thought it and you put it on paper or on the screen in this case. It's just really fulfilling to see that I'm able to connect with people on that level and bring their message to life.
Yeah, that's a wonderful feeling. And you're able to do something you love is just as wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've been doing this for how long now?
Like 7+ years. Too long. No.
You're a pro.
And as a writer, you write blog posts also on your website. What topics do you speak about and why those topics specifically?
My blog started as a passion project. I love to write and I wanted to be published. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to publish myself on the internet. So I mostly write about self-care and ways to go about that and setting goals and how to go about that. So I see it as like a bestie blog. I write topics that I would talk about with my best friend, you know, how to take care of yourself, making time for yourself, especially when it comes to your physical and emotional health. I think that that's something that we neglect. It's kind of like my online journal, but also my place that I want people who read it to connect with it and to realize that, you know, it's okay to put yourself first. And then I just give examples of ways to do that.
Yeah, that's so important. Having that in mind, all those topics that you speak about, that's all what I'm for. So it's so awesome to hear someone else also doing that with their own words.
Yes, not enough people are talking about it.
Right, and that's why we're here.
There you go.
Switching the focus to more personal topics, what's self-care to you and why is it important?
Self-care is exactly what it sounds like, taking care of yourself, doing something that is just for you and that you enjoy. So it looks different for everybody, right? So self-care for me is fitness and reading and journaling. And self-care for my husband, for example, is spending time on the basketball court. That is his woosah time, as he calls it. It's important because it's rare for other people to pour into you, right? As you get older, there's not really anyone who you can say, this person takes care of me. So it's your job to take care of yourself. And if you spend all of your time taking care of other people, as we tend to do the older that we get, and not putting any focus on yourself, then you won't be a whole lot of good to the people you're taking care of for very long.
Right. When did it become a practice to have it in your relationships as a mother and a wife?
Probably after my daughter was born, because my son is 8 When I had him, I was insanely young. I was 21. And then my daughter was born 4 years later. And learning that I was going to have a daughter just changed a lot of things for me. And I realized that I wanted to be able to set an example for her. And so that meant doing things a little bit differently. I wanted her to see a mom that was happy and fulfilled. Not that that didn't matter for my son. There was just something so different about bringing a little girl into the world and wanting to be the kind of woman that I wanted her to be when she grew up.
Oh, that warms my heart. I love that. But between your son and your daughter, is there anything that your son did for you that kind of also prepared yourself for bringing a girl into the world? Or are there any similarities, differences, anything you could, like insight you could give on that?
With my son, I mean, he was my first baby. So everything that I did with him was brand new. And with him, my concern was like, I just need to stay alive. Mm-hmm. My priorities changed very much after I became a mom, because it's no longer just about me. You know, I have to take care of myself so that I can be around at least long enough until they're independent to take care of themselves. But as far as differences with him, with my son, it was just, everything was so cute and everything was so new, you know, and I had all the ooey gooeys. And then with my daughter, I definitely feel a lot of pressure. Like I don't want to just tell her this is how you should live and this is what you should do. I want her to see it, because I just feel like that's way more impactful than me lecturing her on how he'll live her life.
Right. It's about experience. I think parents are there to guide as much as they could, but sometimes it's the experience that kind of teaches you.
Right.
So, or teaches you more in a way. The role of a parent is rewarding, but at the same time consuming. How do you and your husband find time to be a couple and not just mom and dad?
Well, pre-COVID, we would go on a trip together once a year and leave my kids with my mom and spend that time just us. I mean, date nights are also really important. We would go out at least once a month and do, you know, things that adults do, like go have dinner and not have to cut up anybody else's food or anything. But we would do that, and we would go on trips. And then now, you know, since we are spending a lot of time at home, we still have our date nights, but they're just nights in. And we make time for each other without the kids. I was actually just having this conversation with him yesterday, and I was saying that the reason why things work well for us is because we have our own lives, and then we have a life as a family. So he's got his life, I've got mine, and then we have our life as a couple, and then our life as the four of us, a family. I think that that really helps with keeping things flowing and keeping things peaceful, because no one part of our life is too dependent on the other.
Right. And that's such a, I think that's such a beautiful combination to have and so healthy, because sometimes if you're pouring too much into one part of your relationship or, you know, just a role that you play in life, everything else kind of gets pushed back, you know? So Right. Really, it sounds like you guys are like really mindful of just everything, so that everything, like you said, flows better and well, and everyone's a little bit more happier than just frustrated because somebody might be too involved in one thing or their focus is elsewhere and not really maybe everywhere in a way, like spread evenly. That's what I mean. But yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure sometimes you find yourself maybe not doing that perfectly, but at least there's that understanding from both of you that you're able to do that well.
Oh, yeah. You can tell when it's been a while since we had mom and dad time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them, I'll be like, you know what? It's time for me to call my mom. Like, we need a sitter and we need to go be adults.
Right. As a Latina with roots from Dominican Republic, how has that influenced the choices you've made about your well-being?
So in my family, the women are nurturers. Like, we take care of everybody. We do the cooking and the cleaning. And I'm sure you witnessed a lot of the same things growing up.
Yeah.
My mom is an amazing human being. But when I was growing up, she was just tired all the time because she was doing everything. And although I think that that is admirable, I didn't want to live my life like that. Even from a very young age, I knew, like, I don't want to be like that when I grow up. I want to still have my life and still do all the other things. I'm a believer that you can do it all, but you can't do it all at the same time. You have to carve out time for things that are important, like taking care of your physical fitness. It astonishes me the amount of people that are unhealthy, who are young, who are my age and are either overweight or dealing with some kind of chronic illness. And I'm like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be tired all the time. So yeah, watching the women in my family while I was growing up made me realize that there were things that I wanted to keep. I want to take care of my family and be present. But in order to do that, I have to take care of myself first.
I completely understand. I mean, coming from also a Dominican family, we know how hard a lot of the women work and completely forget themselves in the midst of it all. So that's so great that you were able to see that and say, you know, I want to do things different while I do still want to be nurturing to my own family, but also have that balance. Like, sometimes I literally can't do it all. And I need my break, or I need to do this or that. And then I could come back and be, you know, whatever it is that I need to be for others. But that's why, you know, I think you believe this too, but like, self-care is so important, because if not, you'll fall apart. If you're just giving your energy to one thing or just your family, like, that's just a lot. And I've seen that, obviously, culturally, we both know how that is.
Yeah, it's actually really, you know, frowned upon in our culture to do too much for yourself. I mean, I'd like to think that that's changing with, you know, with the generations. But definitely when I was growing up, it was like, what do you mean you left your kids with a babysitter? Ugh, like, you don't know, you need to be with your family. And I'm like, but they'll be here when I come back. We live together.
They're my roommates.
Right? Like, they're right there. It's gonna be fun.
Right. Even though we kind of did touch upon this, my next question is, growing up in a Dominican family, taking breaks is not always viewed as necessary by older generations, even though this indirect message can easily be spread to all generations to come. How do you view it, and how are you shifting it for yourself and your kids?
Yeah, we did touch a little bit on that, but I mean, I could talk about it all day, honestly. I think that it is just so shameful. There is so much that we are supposed to do, quote, quote, as Latina women. Like, you're the one who's supposed to do the cooking. You're the one who's supposed to buy the groceries, do the laundry, like everything. I'm like, but there, y'all know that there are services now that do those things for you. Like, I can pay someone to get my groceries for me, and I can pay someone to clean my house. And that is just, there's such a stigma attached to that, but I don't understand why. My focus is on doing the things that bring me joy. Obviously, I'm not irresponsible. I'm not going around saying, it's not going to bring me joy to do my job today, so I'm just not going to do it. Not like that, but I don't see the need to do everything myself. I just think that that's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for implosion. Eventually, you will just stop functioning. You'll go crazy. You'll feel like you have zero energy, and life is too short for that. I do think that I've had an impact on the older women in my family. Like my mom, for example, she's in her 50s, and she's in the best shape she's ever been in. She's all about, you know, doing things that bring her joy. She's really living her, you know, living her best life, as Cardi says. And it makes me happy. And I hope that I pass that along, not just to my daughter, but also to my son, because, you know, I'm not here to knock men down either. Every adult does a lot for other people, because adulting is hard.
Right.
We have a lot of responsibilities, and we tend to neglect the main source that's going to take care of all of those responsibilities, and that's you. If you're not okay, how are you going to do all the things that you have to do?
That's so true. And I think because you've done whatever work that you've had to do to come to this point, also just viewing it young and knowing that you wanted to do different, it does ripple out to so many people. And like you said, you've influenced older generations. And I think that progress is so beautiful to see. You know, I've seen it within my own life as well, how it just kind of changes people because you're doing something for yourself, or you're really finding the things to heal yourself or just be better. And it's just really amazing. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything and you see it happen. You're like, wow, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Now my mom, now she works out every day, and she's like, she mostly eats salads now. And she, I'm not saying we all have to eat salads to be healthy, but just her choices are so different now. And she has so much more energy now than she did 20 years ago. And I'm so proud to have even a tiny role in that. And I know that for my kids, seeing, you know, their grandma, their mom, and their dad, like, we really make an effort to take care of ourselves, that's going to trickle down to them. And then, you know, by the time they have kids, their kids are going to look back on our generations and go, what do you mean you guys struggled with this? Like, this is common sense.
Well, that's going to be a beautiful time when it just becomes normal life, right?
Yes. I hope that that's where we're headed.
Likewise. Experiencing your life throughout your years so far, what advice would you give your younger self that can also be something the Ilani Talks audience can keep in mind?
I would tell my younger self just love yourself. Like, if you just treat yourself the way you treat the person that you love the most in the whole world, then everything else will kind of fall into place. I'm not saying that it's going to make your life perfect or anything, but just that self-acceptance and loving yourself, taking it easy on yourself, give yourself grace, put yourself first. It's going to eliminate so much struggle that I spent probably like 10 years dealing with, where it's like, no, I'm just, this makes me happy. And it is a selfless act to take care of yourself, especially when you have a million responsibilities, because that's the only way you're going to take care of them.
Right. Beautiful message, Laura. Thank you. I'm extremely thankful that you were able to come on this episode and just share your voice. And I hope that you've really enjoyed yourself just as much as I have.
I have. This has been great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Ilani Talks. Refer to the show notes for details we discussed in this episode and more about the guest. To get in touch, send a DM on Instagram at Ilani Talks. And if you enjoy this podcast, visit IlaniTalks.com to sign up for the newsletter at the very bottom of the homepage. By signing up, you'll receive exclusive information that only subscribers get. Until the next one, with all my love, Ilani.